Today we'll be installing the latest release of Ubuntu Server, which is Ubuntu 26.04 LTS, the server edition. This is a minimal installation which offers a command line interface that also helps keep your resource usage to a minimum. What we'll do first is go to the download section. I'll post a link in the description below so you can go directly to here. Otherwise, navigate the website at ubuntu.com and find Ubuntu Server and click download. If things don't pop up, you can click download now and then save to your downloads folder and let the image finish downloading. And now that I'm done downloading, I'm going to launch and use the Balena Etcher app, which will help us flash the image that we just got done downloading onto a USB, CD, or DVD of your choice. Balena Etcher is an easy-to-use application to do this. After we're done flashing, we can take this USB over to the computer where we want to install the Ubuntu Server Edition onto. And as a bonus, I'll even show you how to install a web server so that you can start developing a website right away and hosting it locally onto your own server. To use Balena Etcher, just select the image that we just got done downloading. Click Select Image. Choose the downloaded ISO image. It should say Live Server AMD64. Click open, then you can change or select your USB, CD, or DVD where you want to flash this image onto. I have two drives here. I'm going to use the Verbatim Store and Go here. It's a 32 gig. I know this one can be cleared out. That is one thing you should understand is when you hit flash, it's going to completely delete the contents that are currently on whatever storage disk you have selected. So make sure if you have more than one device, you select the proper one from your list and click flash. You'll be asked for administrative privileges in order to run this, click yes, and then the start process will continue. You can also use different bootable disk creators like UNetBootin or Rufus if you don't want to use Balena Etcher. Anyways, when this is done flashing, we'll continue on. After the flash is complete, you can now take the USB out of the computer that you're currently using and take it over to the server where you want to install Ubuntu 26.04, the server edition, and insert it into that computer or server. Then you'll have to boot into your BIOS in order to change the settings around or access your boot priority so that you can select this newly created device to be the first to boot. Next, I'll show you what that looks like on my computer. And on my computer, when it's first loading up, it's going to ask whether I want to boot into BIOS. The key for my BIOS is F2 or the delete key. Yours might be something different. In order to get into BIOS, make sure to look it up for your particular motherboard or computer. So since mine is a newer UEFI based BIOS, yours might be different, but I can use the mouse and mine, making it a little more convenient. What we're looking for is to change up the boot priority. Conveniently enough for me, it's available here on the right-hand side. So I can look through and try finding the USB that I just got done flashing on, but it doesn't seem to be in one of the top four here. So I can either click the boot menu option F8, but let's go to the advanced mode for me, F7, because this might be what your BIOS more closely resembles. On mine, I have tabs up top, so I can select between the tabs. I have main, AI tweaker, advanced, monitor, and boot. Yours might say boot or boot priority. Make sure to find this in your BIOS and then go down. You want to select your boot option number one to be the storage disk, either USB, CD, or DVD that you just got done flashing. So I know mine's a 32 gigabyte USB. So if I look through the list, I should be able to find something that resembles that USB. And here it is right here, my Verbatim Store and Go 1100. It's got about 32 gigs. I know this is the correct one, so I'm going to select storage disk. If you have multiple, avoid selecting the partitions. Select the entire disk. So this one's the entire disk. I noticed that by seeing no mention of partitions. Anyways, I'm going to press enter on this. And this should be enough to allow us to boot into our live environment or installer. I'll make one more mention here in BIOS. If you are trying to install Linux, you'll want to make sure that you have your secure boot settings disabled or set to another OS besides Windows, or else your system will keep trying to boot into Windows, regardless of what you have put into your computer. Also, if you can find fast boot on your computer, you might want to disable that one as well if you're having trouble booting into your Linux environment. All right, if you did everything correctly, you'll get this screen here where you might get a timeout if you didn't hit a key. Anyways, I ended the timeout, and now you're ready to select the try or install Ubuntu server option. Press enter and give it a moment while things boot up. You might see things going across the screen. No worries, it's just information about things that are currently being loaded. Awesome. Welcome to the install screen. If you made it this far, make sure to subscribe below and smash that like button on the way back up. Let's get into installing Ubuntu 26.04 on our computer. First, select whatever language you want. Use the arrow keys to go up and down and enter to select a proper language. Mine's English here. Notice the default option is highlighted in green anywhere on your screen, so you know you're moving on, but go up, click the up arrow, and select a layout for your keyboard and a variant for the keyboard as well. You can also use the identify keyboard option, and it will try to automatically identify that keyboard. After you have this set, make sure to press enter on done. All right, so we have a few options here. The X option is the default option, which is Ubuntu Server. As it says, it contains a curated set of packages that provides a comfortable experience for operating your server. This is what we want. It comes with some pre-installed tools. If you're super minimal, you can go with Ubuntu Server Minimize. This version comes customized to have a small runtime footprint where you're really expected to install every single other thing that you need. The other option here, if you have special hardware, you might need proprietary software or drivers. You can select the search for third-party drivers in case you want to look for any. My server's not going to have anything special on it as far as hardware goes, so I'll only select the X on the Ubuntu server and then go down to done and press enter. Next is our network configuration. So the operating system actually detected a network configuration on this screen. It has this adapter which it picked up on called ENP0S3 for me, type Ethernet. So it is an Ethernet port, and it has a DHCP v4 address, which means the router automatically assigned me an address, giving me this IP address below. If you don't have something automatically that gets set here, more than likely your router is not set up for DHCP. You're going to have to press enter on ENP0, whatever your numbers are, under the type Ethernet or Wi-Fi, what have you, and then go down and edit your IPv4 settings. And instead of automatic DHCP, you can actually put in manual settings, put your subnet in, put an address, a gateway, name servers, any domains you want to search, and then press save. That will set a static IP address for you, and you can then hopefully connect and move on from this screen. And since mine is automatically assigned and DHCP is working well for me, I'm just going to reserve it in my router and not worry about this. This address is fine for me. I'm going to go down to done and press enter. Here's where you can enter in proxy configuration settings. If you have a proxy address, you can use it here in the format that's listed. It says http://user/pass/host/port. After you're done there, just press enter on done, and it's going to actually test the mirror location closest to you in order to try and update mirrors. Give it a few moments as it will say the mirror location passed test. This means it can successfully talk to the outside world. Otherwise, your network configuration was not set up right. You're going to have to go back a couple screens and set up your manual or static IP address or retry DHCP. Make sure your network is connected, whether it's an Ethernet switch or Wi-Fi adapter. Make sure it's seen. Anyways, this all worked fine for me. I'm going to press enter on done. Here is where the fun begins. We're going to have to pay close attention to this portion. But before we do, if you're ready to level up your Linux experience and you want a wonderful workstation in order to admin from, check out starlabs.systems/savvy3, where you can get an extra 3% off these amazing laptops. I personally use one as it's Linux first with no compromises. It comes pre-installed with Linux and has a wonderful premium build for a workstation. This all comes with Core Boot, which is an open source firmware ideal for people who care about open code, privacy, and performance. Anyways, you can get your new Linux workstation today at starlabs.systems/savvy3. You can also use code savvy3 at the checkout for an extra 3% off. So the reason I'm saying this one's important is because as this is where we select that we'll use the entire disk, and we want to make sure that we're selecting the proper disk. So I only have the one disk and it's 128 gigs. It looks like it's right about that size. So that looks correct. And then I will also leave the default here, set up this disk as an LVM group. LVM stands for Logical Volume Management, and it makes it a lot easier for you to manage your storage post-installation in case more storage gets added in the future. Especially if you'd like to encrypt your server and your LVM group, you can with Lux. Simply select this option, and put in a paraphrase. Now, if you forget this password, you're pretty much SOL at that point, so do not forget it if you choose the encryption option. You can also create a recovery key. I'm not going to get into that. So with these two options selected with the X, I'm going to go down and press enter on done. And this is probably the hardest part. So let's start at the very beginning of this page. What this is showing here is how the installer is going to partition the disk we have selected. So it's going to create three partitions here, including this slash, which means a root partition, then a slash boot, which is our boot partition, and a slash boot EFI. And then inside that boot partition, we have EFI-based BIOS, since this is an EFI-based system. Notice they all have sizes next to them as well. Root is currently 62 gigs, boot is 2 gigs, and boot EFI is a gig. But something doesn't quite add up here, and we'll get into that in a moment, because I had 128 gigs earlier when we were looking at things. You can also see that verification well below here, as my overall disk has that 128 gigs. Anyways, moving on, we have the device, which is called Ubuntu Volume Group. This is part of that LVM scheme that we talked about earlier, and it says that it's going to allocate 124 gigs here. But what's interesting after that is you'll notice you have 62 gigs of free space. And I want to make sure that I use the full size of my storage disk. What's happening is things are getting spliced or split in half. So I'm going to go down to the use devices section and notice in the Ubuntu-LV section, we have that 62 gigs labeled as well. I'm going to press enter on this section and then go down, press edit. Then under the Ubuntu-LV, which stands for Ubuntu Logical Volume, the size max is actually greater than what's currently being used. And you can see down below, it's mounted to the slash or the root partition. It's formatted as ext4, so I want to use the entire contents instead of half. For whatever reason, this is the default, so I'm changing this to 124.468, as it says on the size right next to it. Then I'm going to go down and actually press enter to save. Notice what happened now. The root, which is highlighted now, my logical volume has switched to the full size that I can use on my disk, which is the 124 gigs. Now your number might be different. Just use whatever number you have available. Do not put the same exact number as me. Otherwise, you won't use your full size. What you'll also notice is there's no other free space available throughout like there was for. Now I'm taking up the complete space. If you don't do this, what will happen is you'll only use about half of your space that you actually have available, which is a little frustrating later. You'll have to grow that space if you want to use it entirely. At the very end, it tells you exactly what all is going to happen. Here's the complete storage disk. Then partition one is going to take up around a gig. For the second partition that's being made, there's going to be 2 gigs. And the final and the last partition is going to be the rest of your system, which is the root partition at around 124 gigs here for me. No free space. Great. These are where all your files, your packages, the file system exists for your server. Once you're confident that everything looks correct, there's no free space, everything seems to add up, and you have your proper disk selected, we're ready to overwrite the contents of this particular storage disk. You can now press enter and select done, and it will tell you that select and continue below will begin the installation process, which means loss of data on these disks that were selected to be formatted. This is the point of no return. Make sure that things on that file system summary screen do actually add up. If you're not confident, hit no, go back, double check, triple check. Once you're comfortable, go down, it'll be highlighted in red, continue, and press enter. Okay, we're now ready to supply a user for the operating system. First, I'm gonna put in my name. So I'm gonna put Savvy Nick in here. Then I can put the server name. This is the name that's going to be used to talk to the rest of your computers and how it shows up on the network. I'm also going to call this Savvy Nick. Now I can pick a username. You'll want to remember this username. I'm going to use Savvy Nick and then put your password in and confirm that password. Do not forget this password. You will not be able to log in unless you have the user and the password. After you have all that filled in, select done and press enter. If you're ready to update your Ubuntu to Ubuntu Pro, which helps give extra security updates and patches, well beyond end of life, as it says here, until 2036, you can. It depends on what you're going to be using this server for, or if you're going to be upgrading at some point. Do you really need it? Not really. I'm going to select skip for now. You can research Ubuntu Pro Edition if you want additional security updates. You can also do this later as well, so there's really no point in selecting it. I'm going to press enter on continue. Next, it's asking us if we want to install the OpenSSH server. This is usually a great idea for most people, as I'm going to press the space bar to select install OpenSSH server. This is a headless server, meaning there's no GUI available after you install everything. And you probably want some sort of access remotely. OpenSSH will help you SSH into the server, as it's the easiest way to get into the console or command line and then be able to administer the server. Anyways, with that selected, I'm gonna go down and press done. Now we have all sorts of packages we can select from. This can help you set up different servers or databases, front-end tools, and all sorts of other stuff. Unless you have something you're going to use very specifically on the server, I suggest not selecting anything, as again, you can install and set up or configure all of this by yourself after the fact. Okay, with nothing selected, at least for me, I'm going to go down to done and press enter. At this point, we are actually installing the system. This is going to take a while, anywhere from 10 minutes to an hour, depending on how fast your system is. Just be patient, give it a few moments as the installation finishes up. Now, it might be easy to miss, but at the top on the orange, it will say installation complete once things are finished. You'll get a new option at the bottom. Notice it says reboot now. You're going to select this option and press enter, and it'll say rebooting. The last thing you'll see here is please remove the installation medium, then press enter. What this means is to remove the CD, DVD, or USB that you're using to install Ubuntu server right now. Otherwise, you'll boot back into this install image. If you fail to do so or you don't get the screen for some reason, just shut down the system, remove the USB, and boot it back up to get into your actual install. If you have removed your medium at this point, press enter. Okay, the first thing you're gonna see is a bunch of things loading again. It's gonna look similar to what things look like when we were getting into the installer, but this time you should get a new screen at the very end here that says Ubuntu 26.04, LTS, your username, and then TTY1. Congratulations, you're ready to log in with the user you created. Type your user, so Savvy Nick, and then your password, so whatever that is, and press enter, and you should get another notice. One thing I'll say is if you're typing in and you're not seeing anything happening while you're typing your password, don't worry, you are actually typing. That's just a security feature. It's not going to show you any characters on the screen. Just press enter once you've typed in your password. If you fail, do it again, press enter. Another great sign here is if you see your username at the beginning here and then your host name after that, that means you're completely logged in at this point and you're ready to issue commands. That's what the blinking cursor is waiting for you to do. Start issuing commands on the server. If things have been loading for a while and you don't see your username ever popping up, just press enter a few times. Sometimes the console here gets a little stuck, and that will be enough to actually get your login prompt. And now, like I promised you, let's install that web server really quick so you can understand how to navigate and use the server a little better. First, I'm going to type clear and press enter. Then I'm going to type sudo space apt space update. This will update all the mirrors. It's going to ask for a password. Use your password in order to authenticate. Press enter, and it says that all packages are up to date. Now, to get that specific web server package that we'll need, we'll do sudo space apt install and then Apache, A-P-A-C-H-E, 2 at the end. Then press enter and it will start installing things. It's going to ask you whether or not to continue because it did find the package in order to install. I'm going to just press enter as the default and things will install real quick. This is installing the web server service that we need in order to run our web server. Now, what will happen is that this web server, once set up, will be accessible on your current IP address locally. So we'll need the current IP address of the server in order to access it. I'm gonna clear things out and just type in IP space A. Notice here in what's magenta, I'll point it out. Right here, we had that ENP0S3. That was my network adapter. So this right here is the network settings for my adapter. And then I'm looking for INET, which is the IP address that I have. So this 10.0.2.15 is my IP address for this particular machine. I want to make note of this in order to be able to connect to this after the fact. Now I'm going to look for a new folder to make sure it exists. I'm going to type in cd space var space www/html and press enter. And if I do ls, I'll notice there's an index.html. That's great. And in order to open this file up, I'll do sudo. Then I'll type in nano space index.html. Press enter, and you should see some sort of contents here. I can, for example, change the background color. Right now it's set to whatever this is, and let's see, maybe I want to do all F's, for example, and maybe I can find some text here that I can change as well. I'm not exactly sure if that changes the border color or the actual body, but I think what makes most sense is let's just change the title here. I'm going to put backspace and then savvy Nick was here. That should be pretty obvious. Then in order to save this, I need to press Control and X together. At the bottom, it says save modified buffer. I'm going to press yes. It's going to say write to file. I'm going to press enter, and that should change that index file up. And now I'm ready to try to access this. Depending on your router, you may have to change forwarding rules in order to forward port 80 on your network. Typically, this is not necessary unless you are trying to access this publicly on the internet. Then you'll definitely have to get into your router and port forward. All right, so I went on a web browser and I typed in the IP address that I had earlier, which is the IP address of my server. And in this web browser, I get Apache 2 default page. And I did turn the background to the black color. And I accidentally edited the wrong thing here. I edited the title, which is actually what shows up in, for example, like the tabs. Instead, this is probably a better place to make a change. So I'm just going to change that. Savvy Nick was here. I'm going to do Control X, save that, press enter. And just to show you, I'm going to hit reload. And there you go. Savvy Nick was here. I just changed that on my server. Now the page gets updated as well. I just wanted to show an obvious change there. Congratulations if you're seeing this. You're currently hosting your own web server on Ubuntu Server 26.04 LTS. You can read through this page to make even more changes. If you have any comments or suggestions, please make sure to post them in the comments section below. Also, make sure to subscribe below and smash that like button on the way back up. I'll catch you in another video. Thanks for watching. Linux can be hard to understand, but I take the most commonly used terms, commands, and subjects in Linux and I break them down into simple-to-read documents, including Linux terms, flashcards, a checklist, a cheat sheet, and a mind map. And if you're ready to level up your Linux experience and knowledge, go to savvynick.com now and get access to these sheets.